They might have spilled 250 million gallons of poop, but the orcas, Trump is killing them with his exhales. That's what I say.
What we want is our first graders to have a Glock on their hip.
They put that debt on my grandchildren.
The most transparent administration in our state's history.
Based on ideology rather than the facts.
Well, I'm a doodler.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, this Sleepy Jay Inslee. He wants to save the orcas. I love orcas, by the way. I'd like to see the orcas saved. But ignoring the fact that King County, under his good buddy, Smack Daddy Dow Constantine, spilled 250 million gallons of raw sewage out in the Puget Sound, ignores that, says the orcas are dying because Trump. The con just continues. We told you yesterday, breaking news, that I think we were the first to announce it, that Sound Transit has now said that they are, $460 million over budget on the Federal Way line. And that thing isn't even, it's to Angle Lake. It's nowhere near Federal Way. That's on top of the $500 million they're already behind. It's $1 billion behind. And during the board meeting, the Seattle Times reports that the board, so-called board of Sound Transit, they didn't say anything. We're $460 million over budget. Anyone want to say anything? All right. Moving on. We're going to do another $1 million launch party when we reach Federal Way. Question. Yes and back. Can I get my kids into that? Yeah. Yeah. Question and back. Can I get my my wife into that? Yeah.
That's the way they treat things. Gord Sparman, the acting director of WashDOT, had said about the of SDOT, said about the bike trails that are supposed to be $600,000 per mile, turned out to be $12 million per mile.
I can't speak to what happened in the past. I assume it was not a con job.
Well, it is a con job, an ongoing con job. So the Seattle Times reports that that Sound Transit wants to blame construction costs and real estate costs for this. Okay, let's go through the easy lie first. Easy lie number one. You don't need to buy real estate. You got a freeway. You could run the train down the middle of the freeway. That's land you don't have to buy. State can give it to you. You could also run it down Pacific Highway South. That's land the state owns. You wouldn't have to steal land from other people. The reason you're stealing land from other people is so that you can put the choo-choo trains where your developers want them. Because the big real estate developers, they're part of your con. They give money to Transportation Choices Coalition and Mass Transit Now, which are two illegal lobbying groups. That money is laundered. It's a donation to Sound Transit. Sound Transit then works behind the scenes, as I see it, with developers to decide where the stations go. Developers get to buy real estate ahead of time, look at options, and get to make massive amounts of money, like on Capitol Hill, where they built a train station, a choo-choo train station, that for 12 years is going to have affordable housing on top. After 12 years of tax write-offs, then the big real estate owners up there get to turn it into luxury condos. So they get 12 years of tax write-offs, then they get to turn it into luxury condos with a choo-choo in the basement. Same con that's played out all over the country. But the choo-choo train con continues. The state of Washington has made the decision to get into a con with the Oregon Department of Transportation to build a high-sprayed, high-speed choo-choo all up from Oregon through Washington up to Vancouver, B.C. They've already made that decision.
All right, trolley. Neighborhood of make-believe.
Jay Inslee.
I don't make stuff up. I don't have phony math.
Yeah, you do. Now, why would you want to build the choo-choo train, Jay Inslee, when there's all sorts of airplanes people can take? Like 12 flights, 16, 20 flights a day.
It's based on ideology and politics rather than the facts on the ground.
Oh, that's why. Got it. But aren't you really sort of honest?
Probably the most transparent administration in our state's history.
Right.
I'm proud of that.
Yeah, so if you Google, if you go right now to Google, search flights, Seattle to Vancouver, B.C., you're going to find 10, 12, 15 flights, about $200 a pop. It's the same scam that's going on in California, where they built the so-called bullet train. It is from San Francisco to Los Angeles. Here are the facts. Number one, that train is slower than flying. Number two, it leaves less often than airplanes. Number three, it costs more to sit on the choo-choo than it does to sit on an airplane. Why, in the name of all the tolly, would anyone, unless they fear flying, get into a choo-choo that's longer and more expensive and less convenient? It's a con. So this guy, Goren Sparman, acting director of SDOT, who I'm told is a really good guy, but he's in a bad position. This is the quote of the year for Seattle Spirit.
I can't speak to what happened in the past. I assume it was not a con job.
But the state has already decided to spend $750,000 to, quote, study this. Right, Jay Inslee?
They put that debt on my grandchildren.
Yeah, that's what we figured. Why compete with the private world that does it better? Because of unions. Because of big labor. Because of big developers. And someday someone will tell the tale of people like Pete Rogoff, who is a functional illiterate in management. You are literally paying to have that man receive on-the-job training on how to act like a CEO. How that guy gets 300 bills a year plus a pension and a retirement and health care and a free choo-choo rides. Someday the tale will be told of this con and the backroom deals that stink from here. Can't you smell them? Speaking of that, stinking. The people in Seattle, the so-called leadership here, we shared with you an exclusive story at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. A listener of mine has his kid received a scholarship for a trade-type school. Really big deal. And their family is such that their son has to walk himself to school. Well, in his school zone, he's surrounded by heroin addicts who shoot up and defecate and yell at him, and he's taken pictures and shown his father. Bruce Harrell is the city councilman in that area. This is up on Beacon Hill. Bruce Harrell has nothing to say about this. One of his assistants did take the time to talk with my listener, but Bruce Harrell, of course, is going to hide and say nothing. They're always pretending that it's just people down on their luck. What say you, Union Gospel Mission? What say you about these diversion programs that they say are working in the city?
As far as city funding and resource allocation, it's fair to question.
The Union Gospel Mission has its own diversion program, donated dollars, peanuts compared to the city's, and they pay what they can on a case-by-case basis and have a warning.
It is a little bit of a slippery slope as to where do you draw the line, who gets assistance and who doesn't get assistance.
It's not a slippery slope for the city. The Union Gospel Mission, privately funded, and they point out that 85% of the people in the street, the diversion programs, that's where you give them an airplane ticket home or 1 month of rent. Union Gospel Mission tells you it is not going to work for 85% of people because they're hooked on drugs. At least they're honest about that. Right, Jay Inslee?
You got the best weed in the
United
States.
That's what I've heard. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KCTH. Remember that guy, Brock Turner, the rapist from Stanford? The judge let this guy off. This guy raped a woman when she was passed out drunk, and Brock Turner, he got a short prison sentence because the judge said, look, you're a rich kid, you're soft, prison's going to be bad for you, I'm only going to put you in for 3 months. Brock Turner's lawyer wants his whole conviction overturned now. You will not believe this scumbag lawyer's statement. This is why people hate lawyers, and it's unfair because most lawyers would never make this ridiculous argument, but money can buy a lot from some lawyers. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Remember this guy, Brock Turner? He is a great example of why it is why the legal profession gets a terrible name, and sometimes it deserves it. Brock Turner was the Stanford swimmer who raped a passed out young woman, and he was witnessed doing it. I mean, some Swedish swimmers came upon this guy, or at least Swedish swimmers, and stopped him. He was on top of the young woman. I'm going to use some phrases here that are in his lawyer's paperwork. This guy spent 3 months in prison. Three months for rape. Because the judge Persky, Aaron Persky, had said that Brock Turner was from a rich family and he wouldn't do well in prison.
People were so upset they successfully recalled this judge. He talked with CBS News just before the recall vote.
If a judge is thinking in the back of his or her mind, how is this going to look? How will it look on social media? Will I be vilified on cable news? That's the wrong avenue. We can't do that. We shouldn't do that.
But you also can't let someone spend 3 months on a rape conviction because you think he's soft. It doesn't matter. It's immaterial. It's not in the Constitution. It's not in your job purview. So thank goodness you were recalled. So Brock comes from a rich family, and I guess his dad has worked hard for the money. They hired an award-winning lawyer named Eric S. Molthaup. This guy has gone to court to make the following arguments as to why Brock Turner's conviction should be overturned. Mind you, he was caught raping a young woman. Number one, she was raped behind a dumpster. The lawyer said the dumpster wasn't really a good location for rape since you could see it from the frat house patio. There you go. Hired legal gun. The dumpster and the dumpster's enclosure stood between the nearest street and the basketball court, such that the pedestrians or people in vehicles on that street could not see the site where the sexual activity occurred. However, the site was in full view of anyone on the Kappa Alpha patio. He got paid to say this in court. Number two. Pay no attention, as Elora Nanos at Law and Crime writes, pay no attention to the fact that the young woman's panties had been removed. Quoting this lawyer who put these words out of his mouth for money. The removal of her underwear is completely consistent, although not strictly necessary, for an intent to insert his finger without any sexual intercourse. So the lawyer is basically saying, well, all he wanted to do was to penetrate this young woman against her will with his finger. The fact is, when the Swedish students came upon Turner, he was on top of the young woman, bearing down on her, thrusting. He ran away. Swedish students caught him, held him. Number three in this argument. Kids are doing this thing called outer course. It's way less rapey than intercourse. Quote, the lawyer. Respondents fail to recognize that the aggressive thrusting, or quote, well, I don't want to say that word. I don't know if I can. Aggressive thrusting, while fully closed, is viewed in modern times as an alternative or substitute for sexual intercourse, not a precursor to it. The term for this sort of activity in the popular lexicon is outer course, a safe alternative to sex, he added later. The girl was passed out, drunk, never gave permission, clearly. This lawyer allowed himself to take money to say these things in an open courtroom in the hope that saying these things would get his client's conviction overturned. This is a great example of why people have grown to hate the legal profession. This lawyer didn't have to take this case. This is not a public defense attorney. He's a hired gun. He could have said, I can't do it. The conviction should not be overturned. Yes, everybody deserves a defense. That's their right. But unless you're a public defender, you don't have to defend anybody, and certainly not like this. Now, fortunately, in this case, it's not a clown judge like Aaron Persky. It's a real judge named Justice Franklin D. Elia. He summed up the argument this hired gun mouthpiece and disgrace to the legal profession made by saying, and I quote, I absolutely don't understand what you're talking about. I absolutely don't understand what you're talking about. They'll appeal and they'll take it as high as they can because there are lawyers who will do anything for $700 an hour. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show with absolutely great political news. man, I just went and looked outside, and it just continues to amaze me. All the madness, all the craziness of our area, and still, I could sometimes just take my breath away where we live. Let's try to remember that. Thanks for listening all week to the Todd Herman Show. Hey, one reminder. We lost a neighbor. This community lost a friend. There's a grieving family. You know about Officer Diego Moreno. I addressed him last night in our personal note. Today, we've been raising funds for his GoFundMe. If you can give $5, if you can give 10, if you can give 1,000, doesn't matter. It is really just the act of giving that the family is responding to. I'll make it easy for you. You want to give some money to them, I'll do that. But leave a message, okay, on the GoFundMe. Officer Moreno's wife has said publicly at the memorial, or the I guess not really memorial, but the community gathering for her husband, she's reading every note that's helping her through her pain. We've lost an officer. The kids have lost a dad. She's lost a husband. Okay, so easy to do. Just text the word Diego, D-I-E-G-O. It's Officer Moreno's first name. Text Diego to 800-465-8770. Okay, that's brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. You will get a link to the GoFundMe. After you give the money, do me a favor. Well, it's not even me a favor. Leave a note for the family on prayers, whatever you want to say to them. All right, back to the content of the program. This is such a joy to read. This survey is, this gives me hope. Sometimes it's easy to be hopeless, right? I look at our area, and despite the fact I'm just going off about how beautiful the weather is, Dow Constantine gets reelected. An open, naked con artist continues to be reelected to pretend to run King County. We have the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant. Amazon is the enemy of the people, who continues to be reelected. We've got Mike O'Brien. Embarrassing thing is, as a city, we have no plan. Continues to be reelected. Sleepy Jay Inslee got elected. It's easy to feel hopeless, but the Washington Times, Joseph Curl there, points to a new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll. Want to know how many people, what percentage of people think that the Democratic Party is mainstream? 33%. 33% of the people in this poll think that the Democratic Party or Democrat Party is mainstream. This is a thing of beauty. And there's people like Cory Booker. We were all over Cory Booker yesterday. Booker used to be this guy who put on the face of moderation. Reaching across the aisle. He's a guy from New Jersey. He's running for president. Everybody knows it. He intends to be the next Barack Obama. He's a very good looking. He is verbally skilled, African-American, young, athletic looking, excellent liar. One of the best liars in the business. I put his lies above Obama's. His lies are actually more believable. For years, he got away with this. I had a friend named Tebow, and I saved his life. He was a drug dealer. I talked him out of it, and later when he wrote his book, and journalists went in search of Tebow, and he had to come out and say, I made him up, but come on, give me a break. So it was Booker who was going out and saying that if you support the Justice Kavanaugh, you are complicit in evil. Complicit in an act of evil if you support a guy named Brett. Thursday, Booker had to turn around and completely change his tune because he'd also said that your job is to get up in people's faces. He went the Maxine Waters route and said it is the job of Democrats to go get up in people's faces, to call to action. Go get up in the face of some Congress people.
It's so easy to love people who agree with you, but the real test comes to love someone who you disagree with.
Wait, Corey, what happened to go get up in people's faces? Wait, you changed your tune.
It's so easy to love people who agree with you, but the real test comes to love someone you disagree with. And our political culture right now has become so toxic.
You just said if you back Brett Kavanaugh, you are complicit in evil. You just said go get up in people's faces, Congress people's faces. You just said that. In that one man's mind, in that one man's mind, is the war of the Democratic Party. It's living in Cory Booker's brain. Now, he's from New Jersey, nominally. I mean, he's now a creature of D.C. full-time. But he lives, you know, quick train ride away from where the absolute leader of the Democrat Party now lives. The leader's not not Chuck Pelosi. It is... Hear what I said? Did you hear that? That's good. No, that's actually, I slipped, but that's good. Chuck Pelosi? That's actually her their new name. Why do we need a Nancy Pelosi and a Chuck Schumer? They're the same person. I mean, they're basically the same. Yeah, they're basically the same person. Chuck Pelosi. You got your Chuck Pelosi. You got your Maxine Waters. They're the official leaders, but the actual leader, of course, is the very good-looking, photogenic, attractive young woman who pretends to be from the Bronx, who happens to be good-looking, who went to an elite college because her dad was a CEO and an architect. Hey, have I mentioned that she's good-looking? She was on the TV again. This Alexandria Ortega Cortez, 33% of people polled think the Democrat Party is mainstream. Now, why would that be exactly? I wonder. Maybe this guy who has this comedy show, what's his name? Noah something or other, Trevor something or other. Maybe he can shed some light.
We live in a society that is capable. We are capable of ensuring that we have basic frameworks where people can be covered by health insurance, can send their kids to college, where we can pursue a very bold action on climate change and save our future.
So what was the question that he asked her? What is democratic socialism? She still can't answer it. She still can't. This poll also points out the fact that socialism, and this is such good news, it still doesn't poll well. There was a meetup of Democrats at this far left meeting. Well, afterwards, or I think it was just before they premiered their great new slogan, "A Better Deal." They got together and they've warned their entire caucus that socialism, it's still, people hate it. And not young people. They like it because they don't know what it means. They have no clue. That's why we're calling it slavism. Okay, socialism is slavism. It's not quite slavery, right? I mean, that involved forcible bondage and beatings, etc. It's slavism, which is, I think, more accurate. There was, I forgot who said this to me. Someone, a listener on Twitter, said the other day that socialism is slavery with extra steps. So Trevor Noah, is that his name? The comedian? He asked her, this Ocasio-Cortez, how do you pay for all this stuff?
If people pay their fair share, if corporations and the ultra wealthy, for example, as Warren Buffett likes to say, if he paid as much as his secretary paid, 15%, he paid a 15% tax rate. If corporations paid, if we reversed the tax bill, but went raised our corporate tax rate to 28%, which is not even as high as it was before. If we do those two things and also close some of those loopholes, that's $2 trillion right there.
Yeah. We have a $220 trillion set of unfunded liabilities. We have a $20 trillion debt. You can seize all private wealth, every dollar in America. You can pay for our expenses. I think the number is about 4 years. And then it's gone.
Great news. People figured it out. It's insanity. 33% of Americans think they're mainstream. Republicans, jump on this. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show, wrap up the day with a personal note, kind of an experiment in this personal note. I'm learning things from my young daughter about media, and because I confessed that, I got attacked, really attacked and shamed by a listener who contends I'm a bad dad.
Down on Main Street.
To the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side 94.5 FM. Another week together. It's it's going to be 4 years soon that we started doing the radio show. I started it with my my former business partner Chris Widener, and then Chris decided to go out and continue to be an incredibly successful public speaker and author, and started to fill in on a solo basis for Ben Shapiro. It's now nearly 3 years since we started the show. Ben turned the time slot over to us, and of course, Ben has gone on to a national show and national fame in other areas. None of this would have happened without you. So I tell you, and I make sure I tell you every week, and if I ever forget, shame on me, thank you for building the show. You built it, right? I could talk all day, and without you on this portion of the team, it doesn't happen. So thank you, and everybody who listens on the podcast, etc. On a personal note tonight, this might be a little esoteric, so this might be a little bit of an experiment. I got a note, an email, from a woman named Cynthia, who's outraged at me. I happened to mention one time, and this is in a podcast, she was listening to an older podcast, I talked about screen addiction. And I talked about my bemoaning the fact that I gave in and allowed my daughter to have a phone because I feel like a bad parent because I think these things are addictive. And I talked about screen addiction. But I also made a point of saying there are some really good, helpful things online. And I happened to mention a couple of entertainers named Dan and Phil. I said, I don't agree with everything they do, but they're talented guys and they are actually a positive influence. So Cynthia wrote to me and said, Todd, you probably did give your daughter a screen addiction, and you are praising Dan and Phil? What the hell is wrong with you? You've clearly never listened to anything those two idiots have said. Shame on you. Fascinating, Cynthia, and I appreciate you listening to the show. You couldn't be more wrong. One of the great joys of parenting is when your kid teaches you something. It's one of the great joys of parenting. My daughter happens to be a big fan of Dan and Phil. And look, they, like I said, I don't agree with everything they do. But there is something very genuine about what these two young men do. If you don't know, these guys have, 60 million followers or so. And they just connect with people. And I was taught by my daughter about these guys. And I didn't like him at first. But I'll tell you, when I went to go see their live show, yeah, they do live shows, I got to watch my daughter be amazed at a stage show that was creative, musical, intimate, with two guys who stop and have these experiences with the audience where their entire approach seems to be, let us find joy. But it's not just that. It's not just entertainment. And this was the learning part. There is a difference with these new young entertainers. Let me give you an example. This is Dan Howell, who is part of the Dan and Phil partnership, making a confession that entertainers of our time would never, ever have dared make.
Hello, Internet. Today, I'd like to talk about something that I've never shared before, and I know that this may come as a shock to literally everyone, I'm sure, but I've suffered from depression. And I'm not going to do an awkward laugh, because there's nothing funny about that. What is wrong with me? I haven't talked about this before, because I've always felt like it was something I was still going through, not something I was over and suddenly ready to talk about.
Guys,
I'm better. Who wants tips? But I'm in a reasonably good place right now, and it's a huge part of my life that I just think is weird for me to not talk about.
And so he does talk about it, and he admits it. And he admits that it has caused him a lot of problems in his life. Now, that would have never been done. Can you ever see David Cassidy or the pop stars of our time ever admitting anything like that? I can't. I was taught by my daughter that there's a form of mentorship you and I don't have from young guys like this who are willing to confess the fact that they've spent days at a time in bed, that they have fought through this. And to learn that aspect of them and watch my daughter and her friend respond in the audience to two young men who are willing to share this aspect of their life, it meant something at the time. It means so much more now. I've faced depression. I have admitted that to you on the air. I admitted to you that there was a time when I had decided to commit suicide. Decided. And that I'd called my mom. I was so crazy that I called my mom and I told her, I you know what? I figured out things aren't going to get better, so I'm going to kill myself. And I believed my mom would say, well, son, I'd like to argue with you, but I can't. You make a good point. Life's not going to get better. Of course she didn't do that. My father, who hated to fly, hated it, got on his first jet airplane and flew down to Salt Lake City. My sister skipped out of college classes in California and got on a plane and flew to Salt Lake City. They didn't tell me they were coming. I got done doing my show in the morning, walked out in the lobby. There they were. And my dad said, I will stay here until you reverse course. They also did something brilliant. They told my friends. They went to each of my friends. And they said, here's what Todd's decided to do. And my friends had varying responses, such as, you dumbass. Others said, how can we help? My daughter is going through a tough time. 13 is a tough time. In this era, this is a tough time. So I got this note from Cynthia. And Cynthia, I just wanted to say, how dare you? I have spent 2 hours watching these guys on stage. And I've arrived at the fact that, yeah, there's screen addictions. But I've also arrived at the fact that there's a new breed of entertainer who is willing to say things like this. After Dan talked about his depression in this long video, which, by the way, has, oh, roughly 6 million views. 6 million lives touched by this. He talked about this aspect of his depression.
About it, because, I mean, generally I'm a pretty awkward guy and it's a weird thing to bring up, but I didn't want it to be seen as an excuse. I didn't want sympathy because I don't want to be defined by it.
He refuses to be defined by it. His message to young people, because it's largely young people who listen to he and his partner, Phil, that's Dan Howell, is you are not defined by your weakness. You are defined by how you respond to it. 60 million people follow these guys. They do worldwide shows. So Cynthia, next time you judge me as a parent, trust me, pick some of my weaknesses. They're vast and many. But connecting with my daughter and being willing to learn from her, it's not one of them. I've sat and I've watched these videos with my daughter. Sometimes I disagree with what the guys say, and you know what we do? We have discussions. But here's something I do know. My daughter will not be defined by her challenges. She will overcome them. I will not let her be defined by them because I know her strengths. I got past my rough spot because of my friends. But do you think any entertainer back then could have provided a message like this, looking straight into a camera? Let us not, in our zeal to be against screen addiction, ignore the fact that we live in an era of different connections. Honey, my dear daughter, thank you for teaching me about some of the positives that occur in the digital world. And listen to your buddy, Dan. This is the Todd Herman Show. We air every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. I'll see you Monday at 3 o'clock. Be well, be strong, and be kind.